Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Technology. I mean, you think about that. There's so many benefits. People, you're talking about that, you know, I don't believe in technology. You shouldn't use technology. But the very fact how they got to that place that day.
Of course.
You know, technology was involved.
Yeah, they didn't ride a horse to work or.
Yes. They had some people that were kind of campaigning against the idea of taking away jobs. And I forget, it was in Britain. And they had some guy walking around with a bucket. And he said, listen, I think this plumbing stuff has just took me out of a job. Because there was a day when you didn't have plumbing, people would actually come and dump the facilities.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, you're familiar with it, right? Going through those processes. And it's like, wow, you know, you think about that. Even the Gutenberg printing press, you know, prior to that, it was handwritten. You know, the monks in the monasteries would rewrite the scriptures, and that was it. And all of a sudden, somebody could do some rapid printing with the Gutenberg printing press, and that was technology. And then, you know, all of the television that you're looking at right now, it's all digital. It's all tech. It's higher tech than the original
tube.
Yeah, tube or things that were going through the airways. Now it's actually digital broadcasting that's taking place across the country. And so technology is impacting us, but we have to pay close attention. What do we do with this thing? And I want you to hear, because there's a huge benefit. I mean, when you have somebody that's suffering from a sickness or a disease, and it takes a long time to be able to figure out the numbers on a chalkboard or a piece of paper, but if a computer can crank out those numbers quicker, then people can be saved. As a matter of fact, we're about to hear from this Dr. Agus here, who's been interviewed by Fareed Zakari with CNN, talking about how now that numbers are being collected on patients, they're able to cure cancer, even possibly give longer life.
Wow.
Let's take a look at this, and we're going to talk more about it. But as Christians, you know, how do we respond to this? I think it's really, really important. Let's take a look.
Big data has changed much of what we do, how we work, how we shop, how we travel, and so much more. But we are on the brink of a big data revolution in medicine that will change the way we live. That's what my next guest says. David Agus is a professor at USC's Medical School, a New York Times bestselling author, and one of the world's best-known doctors. His new book is The Lucky Years, How to Thrive in a Brave New World of Health. Welcome.
Thank you, Fareed.
So, people have been saying for a while now, oh, there's a revolution taking place in medicine, the human genome and all this stuff. And, you know, I just look at it as a consumer of healthcare. It hasn't changed very much. Why is this going to be different now?
We're at that inflection point. Literally, things are changing. So President Obama in his first term said every doctor, to their kicking and screaming and lament, has to do an electronic health record. So all of a sudden, we have data going from illegible handwriting into databases. And we're learning from this big data. At the same time, technology, whether they be genome or proteome or other omes, and other technologies have come together to really create a tipping point. So what has happened in the last several years is transformative, from making cancer more of a chronic disease to learning from big data to manage all diseases, including cognitive decline of the brain. It is wild. We're really at a special time.
So give me an example of how all this, having all this data, is going to, in some way, produce a better treatment or cure.
So there was a great case that just happened of women with ovarian cancer, deadly disease when it spreads. They started to look at large numbers of them. And if you happen to be on a blood pressure medicine called a beta blocker, you live about a year and a half longer. So no one would have ever picked this up by biology. But now we are starting to do the real studies to make sure it's real. But certainly the data look very encouraging that going on a very inexpensive, non-toxic medicine can add an extra year of life. At the same time, we've done studies, for example, in Europe, and this is a wild one. If you do circles around an airport, the closer you live in, the higher the rate of neurocognitive decline, meaning that the brain needs quiet time every night. And we got that from a big data study. And so, you know, I have a 150-pound dog that snores. So I put those orange earplugs in my ear every night because I can't kick her out of the bedroom, and I get my quiet time and hopefully slow my cognitive decline.
So when you look at something like cancer, the head of MD Anderson, one of the largest, best cancer hospitals in the world, says there is a revolution taking place, and he believes that cancer will become manageable. Why is that?
Well, there are two major phenomena happening. One is, they call the Jimmy Carter effect, right? A 90-plus-year-old individual has melanoma metastatic to the brain, which several years ago was a death sentence. He went on a treatment that blocks the don't eat me signal all cancers have on their surface. You know, they block the immune system from attacking it by having this don't eat me signal.
So wait, explain that. So the cancer cell has a signal that says don't eat me.
Exactly.
To the body's antibodies that might otherwise eat it.
Right. And so these cells, called T cells, will come in and eat them up, but they're blocked. And so this drug blocks that don't eat me signal. And what do you know? He's disease free now, months later. And this is time and time again. Kidney cancer, melanoma, some types of lung cancer, that works. The other phenomenon that's happening now is we call precision or personalized medicine, which are basically the same thing, which means that covered by insurance, I can have a patient's cancer sequenced. And then I can identify targets, which are on switches. And there are dozens of drugs now that block each of these on switches. So in the old days, we categorized cancer by body part, breast cancer, lung cancer. Well, that came from the 1800s in Europe. Well, now we're categorizing it, but what are the on switches? What are the pathways that are actually signaling the cell, hey, you should go and grow? And we can block them with oral pills. And I've seen it. I can now walk into a patient's room, and I couldn't do this 2 years ago, and with honesty say there is hope to treat your cancer and make it a chronic disease.
You claim that we're even going to be able to start reversing aging. What does that mean, even?
It's the wildest experiment. I mean, hold on to your chair. So the 1950s, this woman named Wanda Lunsford did what was her only experiment in science, and she was actually pushed out. She took an old rat and a young rat, and she tied their skin together. And the blood supplies joined after a day, and then 3 weeks later, she looked, and the brain of the old rat had new neurons growing, the muscles were stronger, the heart beat better. She claimed she reversed aging. Well, they called her Dracula and Frankenstein. It actually pushed her out of science. Well, earlier this year, three separate labs, one at Harvard, one at University of California, San Francisco, one at Stanford, repeated the experiment, and it worked. Mm. And what they showed is that when you and I turn 25, our stem cells go to sleep. And there are proteins that wake up those stem cells and allow them to refunction and make tissue again. And so the future, there are clinical trials now in elderly who have a fracture to accelerate healing by giving these proteins. It's doing the same thing in people with severe cognitive dementia. And we're doing it in cancer. Cancer in kids is up to 90% curable. Those same cancers, when you turn 25, they're incurable. So if I can convince the body it's young, maybe we can have a bigger impact on cancer. And so there's hope. And what's amazing is the way to reverse aging and to actually make us live better is within us already. It's just the sleep. So we're not going to live to 130, but when we live until our 8th, 9th, or 10th decade, hopefully we could do it with real quality years with technologies like this.
And all this comes, or much of it comes out of this ability now to analyze massive quantities of data. Both, you know, at the biological level and also health records.
And the cheap technologies. You put all those together, it's powerful. But it is an issue, right? And we saw Blue Cross's database got broken into and hundreds of millions of records accessed. So that's an area that we have to pay attention to and is scary. But at the same time, we all have to say, listen, my medical records, even if they're, when I de-anonymize and take my identifiers on them, I want to give them to the public good because I want to be part of the solution, not the problem. So you have both of those things happening parallelly.
I mean, this is a big, you know, what do you do? Because I like the fact that, you know, scientists really discover God.
Right.
They discover how God made the body. And they say maybe we only use like 10% of our brain.
You know, For me, a lot less.
Yeah. You know, God created, you know, the whole brain.
Right.
And when you look at miracles and you look at things, how God brings healing to your body. I mean, every day we experience healing. Mm. I mean, you can cut yourself. And you watch what happens over a period of time, immediately the body that God's designed, you're created the image and the likeness of God, begins to heal itself. It's
resilient.
An amazing thing.
It's amazing.
And somebody says, well, I've never experienced healing. It's like, you wouldn't even be alive today.
That's right.
We're constantly, and then the germs and the viruses that are constantly attacking our body, that our body is healing us and destroying those things. It's just a miracle. But what they're finding out through data is that God's designed a pretty awesome body. It's like we have what's inside of us. You know, Dr. Agus is saying that it just needs to be awakened. And then all of a sudden, the cancer cells that used to be eaten when you're under 25 don't get eaten anymore. Now all of a sudden that part of our body just awakens.
Wow.
And we deal with cancer. Because cancer is just like a radical, you know, I'm not a doctor here, but it's just like a rebellious cell that just keeps reproducing, which gets bigger and bigger tumor, and it doesn't, can't not be destroyed.
We're talking about technology. We're talking about medicine and people living longer. It would be interesting to find out how much does nutrition or the technology of producing food faster and storing it, how has that affected the body? Because we eat so, you know, our food is fast food. Well, no, I've been reading and talking about it, but think about it. We're getting all this fast food, all these type of things.
Right.
That's technology. That's technology. That's faster, quicker, easier, microwave it. And how much of that is affecting our body? It's, you know.
Well, yeah, and then it's what he's talking about. It's just being near an airport, and you go concentric rings, and you get closer and closer to the noise.
Mm.
Then you have people that their mental capabilities, their ability to think and to function decrease. And having silence is such a rarity. You know, be still and know that I'm God, and that, you know, that it's so important to be able to heal and have that peace. It's like people just want noise going all the time. They don't know, you know, what peace is like. They feel uncomfortable. But there's healing in the fact of being silent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. But this is huge. I mean, so we say these big computers, you know, he's talking specifically about, you know, Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act caused doctors to have to keep digital records instead of paper records, which makes our records vulnerable for people to
hack
and take them. And not only there won't be any secrets about what people say, there won't be any secrets about your DNA. I mean, it's going to be so out there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's appointed once for men to die. The very fact, you know, the records indicate in history, the reason why they came to America originally, the Americas, was they were looking for the fountain of youth.
Mm.
And that life expectancy at that time was probably around 40 or 50 or something like that. In those days. And, you know, if you lived 110 years, it's still only a smidgen of time in eternity.
That's right.
And so many people, I mean, they want to, you know, I just need to be fixed. You know, I need to, you know, be healed from this and healed from that. And I just pray every healing comes to everyone that needs healing.
Right.
But the fact is that what do we want to live for?
That's the magic word. For what?
A television program series,
yeah.
You know, that people rush home to get to watch, you know, nothing. I mean, we're not an agricultural society. You know, in the early, late 1800s, it was like 90% of people were working on farms, I believe it was, to produce the food. And now it's only 2% that's actually, if we eat, 100% of us eat.
Yeah.
But only 2% of us are growing the food that we eat. And it's like, why do we want a longer life? And the Lord said the reason why he created us was to be able to have a relationship with him, to bring him glory. And it's like, it's almost an insult. It's like, okay, I've given you, you know, 50 years, and you want to live beyond 50, and you didn't give me any of those years. You had no relationship with me for 50 years, and you want to live longer in that state?
All these years will be accounted for. They be accounted for.
They will. And God's merciful and kind. It's true. And so I would be more concerned about utilizing the years that I have.
That's right.
And I thank God for technology. I thank God for, you know, being able to understand things. Technology is everywhere, what we're doing with the programs and reaching out around the world. But what we also learned when we were transitioning from paper to plastics, what we call it, when we were trying to figure out how to manage everything that we're doing using paper methodologies and paper planning systems, and you had all this digital managing systems as well, we found out when you left paper, you left your ability to grip reality if you let the technology go off and take you into some never, we call it the dark ages, where, you're able to write down every task you got to do, set every appointment. You can build a huge database of people's names and information, how to reach them, but it's like, you don't know it. It's controlling you.
That's right.
And what we discovered was, for our own personal revelation, this might be for you can pray about it, is that technology, you got to decide, am I gonna submit to technology, or is technology gonna submit to me?
Mm-hmm.
And what we discovered was, if technology submits to the vision and the call and what God has called us to do, or called, you know, as a believer to do, then that's totally fine. But the moment it oversteps, and it'd be real easy to do if you're looking at all these different mm-hmm. things, you have to say no. So you have to be, you can say yes until it takes you away from your personal relationship with God, when it begins to put itself in between you and God. And they're working, I mean, this is, you know, Mark Zuckerberg,
mm-hmm.
with the founder of Facebook, what's he, 27?
I think so,
29?
Yeah. I mean, under 30.
His frontal lobe, according, I'm sure, to Dr. Agus here, I don't know, just developed recently. So, I mean, that's pretty young to be in this kind of control over a billion plus people on the face of the earth. He's saying that Facebook will be smarter than a human being.
Mm.
Why? Because they're gathering all this data, and people are sharing everything. I mean, everything on social media is like, that's not going to go away. And so at some point, it's going to come to a point we have to say, you know, if I die, I die, but I'm going to stay loyal to Jesus Christ. Mm. So it's not about living forever here in this life. It's about living in eternity with God forever, where there's no sin, no pain, no sicknesses, all these things we're trying to avoid here. It's not there. And or we can live for this life alone and gain the entire world, but lose our soul. And then we spend eternity separated from God, the giver of life himself. Think about this. All these things that men have come up with, even to the point where they're creating technology, trying to rebuild the brain, but they found out to build a brain, but they found out it's a little bit more complicated than they thought. And even partners for people literally have a technical, computerized, human being looking robot that would be your partner in mm. life. I mean, and partnership has been messed up so much already. It's like, anyway, so we got the line's coming soon. And this is the thing is, you got to be able to live with your relationship with God, with the Bible, a pencil or a pen, and a blank journal.
Mm.
And this is so important. One way you're going to know about this is learning how to abide with the Lord. You need to depend on his voice, a relationship with him. And many people want to do it. They just need a simple plan to be able to do that. And guess what? We have a free, simple plan for you to just kind of walk through. What does it mean to abide with God? Because John 15, when Jesus is writing in the Gospel of John 15, he says, you're going to blow this thing if you don't abide with me. I mean, he didn't say it that way. He's just saying you can do nothing outside of an abiding relationship with him. It's going to get so complicated and so crazy with this technology and what people lean on versus leaning on God. You're going to need to have an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. We got it totally set up for you. It'll just rock your world. It'll change your world. And you'll be confident that you won't be paranoid that you'll end up taking some mark or doing something. Go to iabide.org. That's where it is. We have that plan for you right now. You just fill out the little simple information where it'll come to you right away in your email. You can begin to learn how to abide immediately, and you'll find out you'll be just peaceful. No matter all this crazy stuff going on, you're not worried about it because you know the Lord's voice is going to lead you and guide you. It's simply at iabide.org. Get your free plan today.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.